This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India Show.
A desolate windy road on the outskirts of Sivakasi in Tamil Nadu leads to a fireworks unit. Even with Diwali just a week away, the factory wears a somber look. Many of the manufacturing rooms remain empty, and only about 10 workers are seen on the premises. This is because the unit has produced only 40% of its capacity this year. The units have been shut down for several months during the COVID-19 lockdown. The cracker bans in Delhi, Odisha, Haryana, and Assam have come as a double whammy for the manufacturing units in the fireworks capital of India. P. Manimaran was one of the 10 workers there. He is 30 years old. When he started working in 2008, he was full of hope and excitement. Now with the lack of demand and falling wages, he finds it difficult to make ends meet.
I entered the industry after seeing workers laughing and gabbing and enjoying themselves as they worked hard. My father worked as a court clerk, and his brothers, who were in the firework industry, got me a job. When I joined the industry, I was a young man with no responsibilities. But now I find it difficult because I have a family to look after. It saddens me to find that the work I loved is not lending me a helping hand today. I am neither able to let go of the work or continue doing the work.
தை மாசத்துக்கு அப்புறம் பங்குனி வரைக்கும் நல்லா ஓடும் ஆர்டர் கிடைக்காம வேலை சரியா.
We do not have any work for 3 months after Diwali due to the monsoons. பங்குனி மாசத்துல இருந்து from January to April the work will be dull. From April to August the work will be brisk.
நாலு மாசம் நல்ல தொழில் ஓடும், ரெண்டு மாசம் நல்லா ஓடும், ஆறு மாசம் கன்ஃபார்மா நம்ம வேலை ஓடும். அது போக பட்டாசு ஸ்ட்ரைக்கு அதுன்னு வச்சு ஒரு மாசம் கணக்கு இழுத்துருவாங்க.
Further, industries were shut down because of the cracker bans and restrictions in many states.
With air pollution in a number of large cities, including Delhi, making it harder for people to breathe, the industry is now at a crossroads. As a result, over 6.5 lakh people, directly and indirectly employed in the industry, are facing the heat. What is the transition plan for people who are dependent on this industry? Hi, I am Hariprasad Radhakrishnan, reporting for this episode of the Suno India Show. I traveled to Sivakasi to meet industry people, including laborers and factory owners. The industry is in shambles and there appears to be no long-term plan to help the laborers who are dependent on it. Sivakasi is a town in the Virudhunagar district of Tamil Nadu. The fireworks industry here dates back to the 1930s and the first organized factory was set up in 1940. The pioneers of the industry were Iyer Nadar and his cousin Shanmuga Nadar, who went to Calcutta in 1922 to learn the production of safety matches.
Iyer Nadar and Mr. Shanmuga Nadar, these two brought the production of match safety matches from Calcutta. Actually, they went to Calcutta and learned these production techniques. They came back here and started a production unit in a small scale.
This is Shankara Pandey K, a PhD scholar at the Madras Institute of Development Studies. He is working on a thesis titled Occupational Mobility in Fireworks Industries. He's doing field work in Sivakasi.
The Nada brothers learned the technology from a Swedish multinational firm. This firm was the sole manufacturer of safety matches in India at that time. They returned to Sivakasi with all the requisite expertise and jointly established a unit called the South India Lucifer Match Industry in 1923. The matches industry diversified into the firecracker industry within a decade.
The first fireworks units established by the two And later, one by one, they added a variety of startups to their production. And it's till 1950, means you can take it as before independence, the production technique was, it was held with the only few families of Nada community. So after independence, they are unable to meet the demand. And often they employ people from outside the community, and the people from worked from outside community, they started their own industry. Likewise, it has developed. This industry reached its peak in 80s, and in 90s, it's almost around reached 800 units. Now it is around 1,000 registered units are there, and if you talk about the unregistered units, it will come around 500 to 700. It varies year by year. We cannot take it into account that one.
In the 90s, Sivakasi's fireworks industry first got a bad name for hiring many child workers. After heavy state regulation, children are no longer employed, says Pandey. But the health effects of the industry cannot be ignored.
Though they are getting a regular income, though it helps to reduce their poverty, or it helps to give the food or day-to-day food, it helps. But in the case of it affects their health heavily. The people who are working in the industry, they cannot work more than 60 years actually. After 30, 40 years, they used to have lung issues. The major issue is the lung and respiratory disease, they used to have the first issue. And the second one is, they used to intake a lot of chemicals. Even kidney also, they used to have kidney-related issues also, they used to have second one.
I met Lenin Kumar, a 36-year-old worker, who says that his health started deteriorating to the point that he stopped working with these chemicals.
I started working in the fireworks industry in 2007, soon after getting married. Until then, I was working in the printing industry. The first year was very difficult, but the work got easier over time. I think it was around 2010 when I started suffering from dust allergy. Until that time, I was able to run for as long as I wanted. I used to play silambam, but I can't do that anymore. I'm not able to lift heavy items like water cans. I can no longer lift more than 2 or 3 cans. I can't have any cool drinks. And I also have discomfort while talking for long. You can hear it in my voice. Now, as I can't work with chemicals for more than 30 minutes, I started working in work that deals with product finish. I have been admitted to the hospital for 10 days once. There are many others who have similar health issues.
Fire accidents are commonplace in the industry. As many as 204 incidents have reportedly taken place in the last decade, resulting in 298 deaths and injuries to 236. In February, 20 people were killed in a single accident at Achankulam village in the district. A number of units continue to operate illegally without following the required safety norms. Lenin Kumar says that even deaths do not deter family members from returning to the same job again.
When we get onto that vehicle to go to work, we think about whether we will return home to get to see our children that day. We don't know when or how an accident might occur. When my friend's 3 family members died in an accident, the rest of the family returned to work on the 10th day after the funeral. We need the fireworks industry for our survival. Sometimes, we have work for 6 months and don't have work for the other 6 months. The industries are only concerned about getting the required output fast and nobody is concerned about the safety of workers. If they give work throughout the year, we will be able to do the same work with caution and not in a hurried manner.
ஒரு வருஷமா நீங்க வேலை கொடுத்தீங்கன்னா அந்த அவுட்டன் அந்த ஒரு அவுட்டன் ஒன்று இருக்கு ஃபோன் நைட் ஒரு இவ்வளவு சரக்கு செய்யும்
ஆக்சிடென்ட்ஸ் ஹேப்பன் ஃப்ரீக்வென்ட்லி ஒன்லி பிகாஸ் ஆஃப் வர்க்கிங் ஃபார் 6 மந்த்ஸ்
நல்லதான் அவங்க அரசாங்கமே யோசிக்கும் ஒரு வருஷம் முழுசா வேலை கொடுத்தா தான் அந்த சரக்கு கொஞ்சம் கொஞ்சமா மெதுவா செஞ்சு ஒரு வருஷத்துல பூர்த்தி பண்ணுவாங்க
If you look at all the years when the industry was allowed to work through the year, you will find that accidents were infrequent.
Manimaran joined this industry in 2008 despite these controversies surrounding the industry. He felt that it was a good place to earn a living. He now lives with his family in Murugan Colony, about 15 kilometers from his factory. Neither of his children, who are 2 and 5 years old, have been to school yet because of the pandemic. During the COVID lockdown, the factories were shut and he had to depend on charity.
During the COVID lockdown, we suffered the worst. There were times when our entire family was in tears. Sometimes I took loans or picked scraps. Even scrap metal shops were shut at that time. A few gave us loans and a few politicians distributed food and we survived with that also. When the units were shut earlier, we could at least work in other states to eke out a living. Some people who made fireworks in other places used to take us there. We used to get work for 3 to 4 days a week and that helped run my household. But during the COVID lockdown, we could never do that. Even though wages have fallen, there are no alternatives because even the printing industry, which relies on firework industry, has also been hit. When I entered the workforce, there were 3 lakh workers. But now, there are over 8 lakh people dependent on the firework industry. It has become difficult for everyone to get jobs elsewhere.
Men are usually given the jobs of mixing and filling of firecrackers. Meanwhile, women are given jobs of labeling, assembly and packaging. Women are paid only half of men's wages. So while men are paid about 400 rupees on an average, women earn only 200 rupees. The logic? Women's work is relatively less hazardous. Manimaran was making 600 rupees a day before the pandemic. He now makes only about 400. Trade union leaders have been demanding the government to order companies to hire the workers as full-time employees rather than on a contract basis and provide a minimum salary of 18,000 rupees.
Most of the workers are employed via subcontractors and are not direct employees of the factory owners. The subcontractors are then held responsible even for the safety gear. The safety gear is too expensive for a subcontractor to pay for, says Pandi.
In the regulation used to be there, but when you see when it comes to work, you cannot see many. Even the workers also won't, even if you ask why don't you use some safety method or safety gears. The safety gear company the responsibility goes to the subcontractor. What kind of safety gears you can wear, that's the thing. One is you have to wear a proper mask. It costs more than 1,000 actually. I'm not sure whether these subcontractors can afford these kind of safety gears and all.
Pandey said that sometimes subcontractors offer a banana to eat to prevent respiratory diseases. That eating bananas prevents respiratory illnesses is a myth.
I spoke to Rajendra Raja, Vice President of the Indian Fireworks Manufacturers Association, about employing workers full-time. He said that the wages the laborers received were fair.
But nowadays it becomes the piecework. For daily wages, we cannot employ any laborers. Because employ also, we cannot oversee them. We assign some duties for daily wages. They will not meet whatever limit that much of work he has to do. Then only I can meet that expenses and all this. That they will not listen. They are doing for fees for work only they are doing. Because that everything wages depends upon the speed of the hand. So if they twist their fingers very quickly, they earn more. But for daily wages, they will not twist their fingers. Now, could you understand what I say?
Yeah. Salaried employees won't be as fast as the daily wage laborers, is what you're trying
to
say.
It's not organized. No. It is labor, this much of work you have to do. We cannot impose to them because it is a that is chemicals. Not that is. Anyway, if we handle it safely, to that extent it is safe. Skilled laborers are there, they are earning more than 1,500, something like that. That unskilled, those who are getting training, they are earning 400 to 700, something like that. Okay. If we employ them for that daily wages or salaried groups, we cannot get that much of work what they have done on that piecework. Suppose if a man with the skilled labor and twisting fingers, if he makes 1,000 pieces, if we employ salaried people, they will make only 150, 200, 250, something like that.
Okay.
For that, we have to put to supervisors, managers, and all those things. Unnecessarily, we have to expense more.
The workers here mostly get wages per piece they make, which means that they are incentivized for handling more chemicals. All manufacturing units have to come to terms with the phenomenon of green crackers. These crackers are supposed to reduce 30% of the emissions. The Supreme Court in 2018 banned the use of certain chemicals in the making of firecrackers. But the cracker industry is unable to manufacture these so-called green crackers without toxic barium salts. Recently, a CBI inquiry revealed that samples of finished, semi-finished and raw materials sourced from six leading manufacturers had barium salts in them. This was in violation of the 2018 ban imposed by the Supreme Court. In July, the Apex Court upheld the National Green Tribunal's ban on the sale and use of firecrackers during the COVID-19 pandemic in the NCR, and all cities and towns where the ambient air quality is in the poor or above categories. These legal challenges have stopped fireworks production on its tracks. Rajendra Raja says that people do not like buying crackers without barium salts. Barium salts produce green light without which consumers are not interested in the product, he says.
Nowadays we are in the clutches of Supreme Court. We are waiting for the verdict. Already that chemicals, some important chemicals are some important chemicals are already banned. We could not produce much more items without that banned chemicals. So we have reduced our productions drastically. But our future is uncertain. We could not know how to run the factory and how to give employment to all these laborers that what worrying we are much. After Corona, that reduction automatically has gone down. We could not produce more items. We have one or two items without barium we have produced. That also not wanted in the market because their taste is different. Whatever the we manufacture, that they are not ready to take. What they are asking, we could not make because of these banned items. And production, as far as my factory is concerned, that 40% only I could produce. Out of that, 20% only I have sent to that marketplace. Remaining the 20%, I am waiting for the Tamil Nadu orders. That also I cannot be sure whether it would go or not.
Whenever production reduces or factories shut down, workers are driven deeper in debt. They usually borrow from unscrupulous money lenders and end up paying a lion's share of their wages towards interest. And it doesn't help that the center and state governments do not have a long-term vision. They do not have a plan to help supplement laborers' income and reskill them, in other words, for a just transition.
So just because, you know, certain industry has to be supported, it does not mean that the general public has to be impacted. So we'll have to look at in terms of alternative livelihoods for people who are likely to be affected. Like any project, if you see, some people get affected by displacement, okay, or some other reason. So naturally, when we take that, if you feel that the project is important, then naturally there will be issues which have to be resolved in taking care of the people who are immediately affected. So similar thing, similar approach has to be used for this industry also.
This is T. Swaminathan, a former scientist at National Environmental Engineering Research Institute, or NERI. We spoke about how a just transition can be ensured for this community. A just transition for communities that depend on polluting industries is a fundamental part of policies on mitigating climate change. For instance, it has found mention in the preamble of the Paris Climate Agreement. However, this aspect has been neglected with regard to the fireworks industry. A number of last-minute bans and restrictions jolt the industry, even as other polluting industries such as coal-fired thermal power plants and vehicles that run on fossil fuels have several decades until they are phased out. Swaminathan said that other such industries have more lobbying power than the fireworks industry.
It's mainly because the nature of the industry. Okay, for example, auto industry or thermal power plants, they're all huge industries. Okay. So, and they have much more lobbying ability. The explosives industry is basically, the firecrackers industry is basically a set of, it evolved from cottage industries to slightly medium-sized industries now. Okay. So, they don't have that kind of bargaining power to discuss these issues and find out alternative strategies for their survival. So that is exactly the point. So it is not that it is not possible for them. If the issue is taken up seriously, then you can always work out some suitable alternative for them.
On the other hand, politicians continue to completely deny or downplay the air pollution caused by firecrackers. For instance, Sivakasi MLA AMSG Ashokan told the New Indian Express, and I quote, "The government of all states must understand that the green crackers we produce do not pollute the environment, but instead kill germs in the atmosphere."
Fireworks, only 20% people are working because of the Supreme Court problem and things like that. So now I'm moving with the present government and going to get an exemption from how we got the exemption for the Jallikattu. And we are 3 years, we are enjoying it. The same we want to get from the pollution. 3B exemption. Once we get that, then the Supreme Court will not interfere in our industry. So then the 8.5 lakh family will be benefited out of this for the industry.
Ashokan says that he would appeal for an exemption for firecrackers under the Environment Protection Rules 1986, like the state government managed to get an exemption for Jallikattu, the traditional bullfighting sport. It is not clear how these stopgap arrangements will help the workers in the long term. The workers are now more and more vulnerable to falling wages, loss of livelihoods, as local administrations and state governments wake up to the harmful effects of air pollution. Acknowledging the need for a just transition is an important first step. However, identifying alternative livelihoods would likely be an onerous task, just like with any other transition of livelihoods. Being a rain-starved region, Sivakasi would not be able to support agriculture to a large extent. Besides, the entire business ecosystem in the town, which includes the printing and matchbox making industry, is closely woven together.
Pandi explains the conundrum that a policymaker would likely face in addressing this problem. He says that the existing industries, including printing, textile mills, and even agriculture, do not have the capacity to absorb such a large workforce. A
lot of spinning mills and milling mills are there. There are already units are there, but if you want, in case these people who are working in the fireworks industry, we cannot take them into the existing mills. Actually, if you want to go to the textile mill and spinning mill, you need a kind of skill which is which you need a time actually. That was the case also in fireworks and matches, but if they are going to the other textile mill, they need to take care of the training and all. Okay.
Pandey says that many entrepreneurs are moving from fireworks production to other industries. Many small-scale units are focusing on making paper cups, band-aids, among other products. On the other hand, large-scale industries often need skilled laborers, and these job opportunities tend to go to migrant workers and not necessarily locals. If fresh industries are being brought in, there is a need for training the locals, Pandey explains. Quite surprisingly, many of the workers are not averse to the idea of alternative livelihoods. At a time when many fireworks industry captains have diversified their businesses by setting up educational institutions and transportation businesses, workers also look forward to brighter avenues. I asked Manimaran if he would be willing to transition to a different profession. Manimaran said yes, but with a bit of reluctance.
I entered the fireworks industry because I liked it, and I still like it. But I have to take care of my family, and there is a need for a transition. I will take it up and learn the new job.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website sunoindia.in or follow us on Facebook, Twitter or Instagram.